nationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author Steve Klein sits down with the most fascinating difference makers in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hear from top CEOs, local entrepreneurs, and key playmakers in business right now with your host, Steve Klein.
Johann Wolfgang von Goethe said, "Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it." Hi, I'm Steve Klein, and welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. In the studio today are two guests who are bold. Our first Playmakers company has reached $1 billion in revenue, while our second Playmaker was a professional chef. With us today is the CEO of the largest independent global cloud networking platform for business. Our next Playmaker is president of three companies. These great Playmakers are Chris McFarlane. Chris is chairman and CEO of Masergy. And James Poole. James is president of TurboChef. And let's begin today's show with James. James K. Poole III has been the president of TurboChef Technologies in Carrollton, a division of the Middleby Corporation, since 2011. James is instrumental in pioneering ventless products for the kitchen, including the world's first ventless conveyor. In addition to his role as president of TurboChef, James was recently named president of Stewart Systems, based in Plano, and Baker Thermal Solutions, based in Clayton, North Carolina. Both companies are industry leaders that specialize in bun and loaf bread baking equipment. James, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
Well, you've had a varied career. You started out as a chef. So my question to you is, how does a professional restaurant chef become the principal engineer and then president for TurboChef?
Well, that's one of my favorite questions, Steve. I think going to school, going to college, and being in engineering school, I would spend my summers cooking professionally, cooking in resort towns, cooking when I would go back home. And I finally got to a point my senior year. I looked around and I said, you know, gosh, I'm going to have a problem. All my peers have been in the power generation. They've been in the mines. They've been in the oil fields. They've had all these great internships. I'm going to graduate with a fabulous degree in mechanical engineering, and I'm not going to get a job because I've spent all my time cooking. One day I was in the kitchen, and I literally was leaning up against a piece of equipment, and I said to myself, well, hey, dummy, somebody's got to engineer this stuff. Why isn't it you? Taking a look at the equipment around me, I was like, and nobody's really done any advancements in the technology for about 20 or 30 years, so why don't I do that? And graduated from school, went to various recruiters wanting to know that I wanted to get into the cooking industry, and finally went to a trade show in Las Vegas, our biggest trade show called NAFEM, North American Food Equipment Manufacturers Association, and essentially walked around all the different manufacturers passing out a business card that said degreed engineer will essentially work for free. While I was at the trade show in Las Vegas in 1995, I bumped into this company by the name of TurboChef Technologies, and I remember thinking, "Oh my gosh, this is, you know, truly an innovative product in an industry that hasn't innovated in 20 or 30 years." Came home that night from Las Vegas to Central Missouri, where I'm from. Talked to my parents, gave them a brief download. They said, "You know, tell me about the show." I said, well, the only thing that, you know, really caught my eye was a company called TurboChef. Well, of course, a couple days pass. I'm out playing golf. My mom comes and we're having a conversation. She's like, hey, we got a call from a company by the name of TurboChef Technologies, and they'd like to fly you to Dallas for an interview. And got on the next plane the next day, flew to Dallas, and the rest is history.
You were where? What city were you in?
Jefferson City, Missouri.
So it wasn't too far away.
Not too far away.
But far enough. Well, I'm going to ask you a few more questions about that, but as you were talking, you've been with them just under 20 years, and you've been recognized as one of the leading developers in the areas of speed cooking, and that's what TurboChef does. So you have developed a lot. Matter of fact, I believe you have a number of patents you've gotten in the years. Talk about the fact that your love was cooking, and you got into a company that actually develop cooking equipment. Was that something you enjoyed doing? Was that something you look forward to going to work every day?
If it wasn't, I wouldn't be here today. I mean, I look at what I do. I talk to my friends about what I do. Everybody's always interested in hearing about the commercial cooking industry, from what this restaurant is doing, where they're moving, what new chains are being developed, et cetera, and making the equipment that enables these companies, enables Subway, Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, 7-Eleven to change their food service to get food out faster, fresher, and hotter, and higher quality is really pretty meaningful and something that's been very exciting to do in my career.
Now, one of the ones I'm very familiar with, we talked about this prior to the show starting, was Pie 5 Pizza, which is relatively new, had the CEO on the show a number of months ago. But Pie 5 would not be in business if it were not for TurboChef and the oven that you developed. Is this similar to other companies you've worked with, but because of TurboChef, you've moved them to the next level?
That's true, and I'm a big fan of Pie 5 Pizza, and they're one of the local companies that I root for every day, and we strive to give them the best possible service with our products and in the development. But we do a ton of work for companies that are struggling. Early on, a large sandwich chain had a big competitive problem with another chain that was toasting. They came to TurboChef and said, "Listen, we need to toast, but we really don't have the facilities to toast." So we created a high speed ventless countertop appliance that you could literally sit on the back counter of the sandwich store, and all of a sudden turn them into a chain that is producing hot, toasted, bubbly, hot sandwiches, and that turn their business around.
Well, you are an engineer. I'm going to ask you this question. Hopefully it won't get too detailed, because I know being an engineer, you like to discuss that. But how do your ovens work? Now, you have a number of different ovens. These are all commercial. Essentially, how do they work? What does it do for the restaurants that you put them in?
So the ovens utilize a combination of impingement air. And impingement is it's a kind of a fancy term for convection. It's high velocity convection that's forced onto the food surface orthogonally. We also use microwave inside the ovens, and everybody immediately is going to have the negative connotation of microwave. Oh my gosh, I can't believe your ovens use microwave. I'm not going to eat there anymore. But we use just the right amount of microwave to accelerate the cooking process to where we can start to cook the food 10 to 12 times faster than conventional quality or conventional equipment would enable you to do, while meeting or exceeding conventional quality. And we do that by controlling the amount of hot air, the impingement. We also do that by controlling the amount of microwave. And very simply, the microwave, because it heats volumetrically, penetrates into the food and cooks from the inside out, and the impingement basically browns, crisp, toast the outside of the food. So I'm cooking from the outside in. You bring those two gradients together, and now all of a sudden you're cooking 10 to 12 times faster than conventional cooking technologies.
So you've essentially brought the best of both worlds together and been able to speed that up. But you are now president of two additional companies, just recently, Stewart Systems in Plano and Baker Thermal Solutions in North Carolina. Talk about what they do and the difference between those two companies and TurboChef.
Well, the similarity in products is none. And as I was talking to my CEO and chairman when he gave me the news, I was like, "This is fantastic. I just wish I knew something about this industry." But at the end of the day, they're making products, they're manufacturing products, and they're selling products. So I get it. But they make all the food processing equipment for bun making, baking. Equipment and also loaf baking equipment. So some of the biggest end users of the products are McDonald's, Wendy's, Pepperidge Farm. Their breads come off of this industrial equipment.
I know, but from going into a number of the companies that you mentioned, their buns taste different. So do your engineers work with the company to help them figure out how to develop a bun that'll have a specific taste?
No, basically we're focused on baking the bun to their standard. So when that bun comes out of the oven, does it have the right proof? Does it have the right color? Does it have the right moisture content? Then my engineers go back and make adjustments to the whole process to either bake it longer, adjust the oven to get a more uniform bake, et cetera.
So they keep tweaking it. So for all intents and purposes, you have some standard ovens, but it's customized for the specific clients you're working for.
Yes.
You've been doing this for a number of years, and your background is restaurants. Now, as president, well, you've been president for a few years, but you were the principal engineer for the company for a long time. Did you go into restaurants and work with some of the chefs or some of the preparers to help them understand how to use your equipment?
Of course, and we've got very fond memories of being the primary research and development guy at TurboChef and working with the Subways, the Starbucks, the Dunkin' Donuts customers, working with them, doing field trials, working in the restaurants, tweaking the settings on the oven to maximize the quality and the throughput out of the oven so that they can get more customers through their lines faster.
Well, the TurboChef's been in business since 1991. We were discussing this a little before the show started. So the company's a little over 20 years old. Were they the first to come up with a concept called speed cooking and help move it along quicker for the restaurants?
There have been companies all throughout history that have combined microwave and convection. We were the first company that combined microwave and impingement, but also who successfully commercialized the technology and made it to where 8 out of 10 of the ovens sold are TurboChef products.
In going to fast food, which I frequent on a regular basis, I have noticed that the speed has become much greater. Matter of fact, it's looking back 20 years, for all intents and purposes, there wasn't as much speed back then. You have, or TurboChef has really been a key factor in revolutionizing the fast food industry. You mentioned a couple of different companies. Do you have a majority of the major fast foods that are clients of yours?
We do. There's some big hamburger chains that don't currently use our products, but we're trying every day to get in front of them to have them take advantage of the speed and quality that our products can deliver.
In other words, there still is business out there for TurboChef.
There's still plenty of business out there for us.
Well, tell anybody how to find out more about you.
Well, you can go to our website at www.turbochef.com for starters.
And there's a number of looking at the website right now. There's a number of different types of ovens that they can find out more about.
Yes.
Okay, James, thank you very much for being a guest on Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve.
James Poole has been the president of TurboChef Technologies since 2011. Again, he is president, and the website is turbochef.com to find out more about their commercial ovens. Don't go away. We have another guest coming up. His name is Chris McFarland. Chris is chairman and CEO of a company called Masergy, and we're going to find out more about what Chris does right after this.
Join the fight against childhood cancer by joining the 29th annual Oktoberfest Run for Children on Saturday, September 20th. This family-friendly event is part of Addison's annual Oktoberfest celebration, with all proceeds benefiting Wipe Out Kids Cancer, a Dallas-based nonprofit dedicated to raising awareness and funding for childhood cancer research and to providing hope and support to children with cancer. There's a one-mile fun run and a 5K course, cash prizes, free food, German beer, awards, and entertainment. Also, receive one free admission to Oktoberfest on race day. Register at Oktoberfest5k.com.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. Our guest this segment is Chris McFarland. Chris is Masergy's Chairman and Chief Executive Officer, having previously served as Chief Operating Officer. Under Chris's leadership, Masergy continues to grow at a profitable and rapid pace, including the key milestone, as I've mentioned at the top of the show, of $1 billion in cumulative revenues achieved just a few months ago in January 2014. Masergy owns the largest independent global cloud networking platform for enterprises. They also provide advanced cybersecurity and business communication services, all with an unmatched customer experiences that their larger rivals can't deliver, and we're going to find out more about that. Chris, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks for having me on, Steve.
You've been in business for a long time. You actually began in college. You co-founded a couple of companies in the early 90s while you were still in school. How did that, or did that, prepare you to run Masergy?
I think when I look back at my career, it absolutely had a huge impact, everything that I went through. And it's kind of interesting because when you grow up, and I went through school here in a small suburban city here in Texas, and then went to the University of Texas at Arlington in the computer science and engineering department. I had this fascination around technology since I was a very young child. But I really didn't have any business acumen in terms of what it really took to start your own business. How do you hire people? How do you do basic things like accounting? And so I really consider those first two businesses was kind of walking through what is it really like to be an entrepreneur, right? Because I didn't at that point in time, I really thought I was going to go be an engineer and help develop, you know, either processors or software along those things. So it played every career jump that I made and every business that I either started or helped build played an extremely valuable role in terms of giving me what I call my trial by fire MBA.
You've been with Masergy for a while. You were chief operating officer. How long have you been with Masergy?
I've been with the company since the summer of 2008.
So you've been with them quite a while. And the company is how old?
The company was founded in the year 2000, towards the end of summer. So we're, you know, coming up right at the 14-year mark.
Did they find you or did you find them?
You know, the board of directors at the time actually found me.
So your skills obviously were what they were looking for. Talk a little bit about what Masergy does. What services do you provide your clients?
Excellent question, Steve. I will tell you that the way that we view our company is one, we're a managed services company in the broader IT services space. You can kind of think about it as the cloud space. We sell to enterprises basically their communications platform for both their machine-to-machine communications as well as their communications platform for all their human interaction. And we also provide advanced cybersecurity services to these companies to protect their data and infrastructure as well. And I know it sounds like a bunch of technical jargon, and it absolutely is. So the easiest way to bring it to layman's terms is that there's basically core infrastructure that they outsource to us. And we're able to do that with people that are better experts and better technology. And half our story is about technology. The other half of our stories is about a different type of relationship with our customers that begins with us showing value in the design of the solution as well as the ongoing support and delivery of that solution.
Well, you used a word that I wanted to ask you about in a few moments, so I'll bring it up now. You, as I mentioned in the introduction of you, you have you compete against some of the larger companies. What makes you different? What do you provide your clients that some of these other larger companies don't provide? Because this has become a very competitive field. So why do you stand out?
We believe wholeheartedly that you have to apply disruption through technology and innovation. And when you take a look at the service categories that we offer today, and our competitors principally, I mean, let's just be real frank, it's the largest corporations in the world. It's AT&T and Verizon and NTT and British Telecom. So they have significantly and dramatically larger resources across the world than what we do have. But what they've built are solution sets that are kind of black box. And so the way that we differentiate is, one, we have this ubiquitous platform that's available in every major city in the entire world. And then secondarily, it's modular in terms of how our customers can actually use the technology and they can self-administrate. So it's kind of really, really disruptive to the traditional services that our competitors provide. And then we also disrupt on the service level in terms of how we manage our customers' life cycle in terms of their relationship with us. Because we're trying to, one, make them more efficient and, more importantly, make this an enablement component to their IT services so that our customers use IT as a strategic asset versus just a traditional cost of service for them being in business.
I noticed on your website, which is masergy.com, M-A-S-E-R-G-Y.com, performance beyond expectations. And you used a word a while ago, relationships. When you're working with a client, my guess with what you do compared to the big companies, you develop more of a relationship with them. You find out what they're looking for. It also sounds like you're more custom-oriented for those clients. You don't have a set service. You find out what they want, and you put it together for them. Am I right in saying that?
That is 100% accurate across the board. We have modularity and automation. which allows it to be customizable or bespoke for an individual customer. And that is something that nobody else in the world does today. And so that, in conjunction with building real relationships with people, because at the end of the day, people want to understand how you're going to service them over a long period of time. And so our view is that, one, nobody's, you know, it's an old moniker, but nobody's ever been fired for doing business with us, because people are really risking their jobs when they choose us because it's so mission critical to their business. But more importantly, we're building them a foundation element so that they can go and really harness the power of this next generation of IT services that are largely derived from the cloud.
Innovation is a big part of your business, your industry. So what role does innovation play in Masergy?
Innovation, from an internal perspective, is a core tenet of what our business is about. And so when I think about innovation, typically a lot of businesses will say, well, innovation applies to product or services development. From my perspective, it's about people, processes, and systems. And so regardless of the function inside of our business, whether it's machine functions or things that require human intelligence, it's about how do you make people more efficient, then how do you navigate so that you're able to scale the business. I think one of the things that you know, our executive team made a very conscious effort early on with the business is the fact that we wanted to continually build a platform that would continue to grow and scale as we were able to win more market share. And I think that's one of the reasons why we've been successful. And that's the other reason why we have a managed growth story. We're not trying to grow the business, you know, 50% to 100% every year. We're trying to grow the business kind of in the 20% range, and we've been able to achieve that because we innovate across the people, process, and systems.
Along the way of increasing business as large as you have, and you hit that billion-dollar mark in January of this year, I found your name as a result of the Dallas Business Journal Best Places to Work. Now, sometimes when companies are increasing at such a large pace, you're not a great place to work because the push is on, the stress is there. So how have you grown your business and become one of the best places to work in North Texas?
That's a great question, and I can tell you it's been by design. There's two things that I hold very near and dear to my heart, and I know the rest of our team does. One is the culture of our business and our core values. And so when we go out and hire new professional talent to join our team, we have a larger emphasis on, are they a good cultural fit beyond just their core competencies? And we've found over time that if we find people that fit our culture, that it's much easier for us to scale because they understand that tagline moniker, performance beyond expectations, which is really us being able to go above and beyond across all interactions that we have with our customers. And we've been able to be very fortunate. North Texas has been incredibly good to Masergy, that we've been able to grow at a fairly rapid pace and continue to hire employees. In fact, we're in the middle of hiring 80 new employees right now. So it's a pretty incredible process for us.
Well, you heard it first here. If you know somebody looking, you may want to check with Masergy. And as you were discussing that, the image in my mind was is a puzzle with some pieces missing. And you identify those people that actually fit in that puzzle perfectly, which means they get a running start when they're going, and then they're adding to the value of Masergy. Well, you've done also a lot with giving back to the community, and that's a big part of your company. So tell us a little bit about your community involvement activities, and why is it important for companies to actually do get involved with their community?
That's an excellent question. I mean, my fundamental belief is that regardless of where you operate and have employees, you have this broader ecosystem of the community. And the community starts from early education to ongoing families until how those families, some of them work at the company and how you give back. And so, you know, me personally, I believe that, you know, I've been able to achieve a lot of the things that I wanted to achieve. And if you're doing really well, you should do good. And part of doing good is by giving back. And so we have a handful of outreach programs inside of Masergy that are very near and dear. Every year we select, you know, 2 to 3 local charities and organizations that could benefit from our involvement, both in terms of volunteer work, in addition to, you know, stroking hard checks. And then for me personally, you know, there's a handful of things that, you know, and most of my stuff is focused around children, that it's important to provide leadership and vision in other ways than just your business. And those things are where areas or children that are underprivileged, whether it's inner city environments or people that just need help because they've been dealt, you know, a raw deal.
because of what you just said, I heard you say that not only do you give the money, but you also get your employees involved too. And to a large degree, companies want those checks. But getting the volunteers in the company is almost more important than just writing a check. So is that a piece of what you do with your employees? Do you work with them to get involved in local charities?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we've got a great team that's a committee here in Dallas, and we do the same thing in a couple other cities where the outreach and volunteering and being really involved not only allows them to enrich their lives, but you get to see firsthand the impact that you can make volunteering, in addition to, you know, the money, if you're fortunate enough to give to that platform. And just to give an example, this Thursday is North Texas Giving Day. Anybody who's got, you know, the ability to contribute to a company, please do so, because that foundation will, you know, match some of those proceeds. But Maestro G also has a matching program. So we've selected a very specific charity. And we're matching all employee contributions this Thursday, which, you know, we were fortunate enough to be a profitable business and think that we should give back that way as well.
You're also encouraging your people to give back too. Tell everybody how they can get a hold of you and Maestro G.
Absolutely. So Maestro G is real simple. MaestroG.com, MaesergY.com. And then you can follow me on Twitter at Chris MacFarland, which is CHRIS. MacFarland.
Well, Chris, that's fantastic. Thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you for having me on.
Chris MacFarland is chairman and CEO of Maestro G. And again, Maestro G is MaestroG.com if you'd like to find out more about them. Thank you very much for joining us at Playmakers Talk Show. You can find out all the information about our future guests and our current guests at PlaymakersTalkShow.com. Again, PlaymakersTalkShow.com. And we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. We'll look forward to seeing you then.
Who will Steve be interviewing next? Find out on Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein every Friday afternoon at 3 on 770 KAAM. Hear this interview again by going to Steve's website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com.